Maybe I could be like an announcer, like a columnist.
I don't believe what I just saw.
You know how I always make those interesting comments during the game?
Personally, I think you got hosed on that call.
Yeah, yeah, you make good comments.
So what about that?
Well, you know, they tend to give those jobs to ex-ball players and people that are, you know, in broadcast.
What about a talk show host?
This is In the Booth.
Talk show host, that's good.
I think I'd be good at that. I talk to people all the time.
With Matt Park.
Hi, everybody, and welcome into the show, In the Booth, on ESPN Radio, the day after an epic road victory for Syracuse, a testament to the value of sports and the unscripted drama itself. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, the turnaround from a poor performance Saturday in the Dome to an exciting road win and hope restored for this Syracuse basketball team. We'd love to have you join us in the conversation today, looking back at the game. You could do it at 315-437-7644. That's 4ESPN44 if you'd like to join us. Pauly Sebelia has gone to a nap. Let him catch up. Tommy's alongside here today and set for Sean McDonough to join us a bit later. Sean had the call on ESPN last night with Jay Billis. They had a lot of fun, as we all did, at Cameron Indoor Stadium. The Cuse pulling one out of the fire, 95-91 in overtime. So many aspects of the game remarkable, not the least of which that they actually won the game that went an extra 5 minutes. That was another juncture where you had to swing Duke into the favorite position. Certainly Duke is the most talented team in the country. They're going to be a favorite at home against really anybody that you could line them up against. I don't think Syracuse throws a 17-point underdog to anybody. And that was a big theme going into yesterday. We'll get into Coach Boeheim's pregame speech to the team here in just a moment, but that was an aspect of it. Not that coaches regularly allude to the betting line. In fact, they almost never do, but it was a big deal certainly yesterday, and not solely a motivating factor, because the Georgia Tech game and the loss and the sting of that had to have been a motivating factor. The only way to get back a couple of these bad losses is to win a game that you're not expected to win. In other words, even to have picked up, had they beaten Buffalo, that was sort of budgeted as a win. That's a non-conference game at home. But you lose to Old Dominion, you lose to Georgia Tech. The way to get those back is to pick one from the file or the pile of the games that you're not really given much of a chance. And for Syracuse this year, that would be the games against Duke, North Carolina, and Virginia. There's four of those games. Duke home and home, at Carolina, and then home to Virginia at the end of the regular season. Those are the games that on paper they're out. And if you can get one of those, that sort of undoes a loss to a team that you shouldn't have lost to in Georgia Tech. And they, by now you know the story, you watched it closely, you listened, and you see how they pulled it out. But it took best of the season performances from multiple players. And I think you'd even include Tyus Battle in that, the Orange's best player and star player. He had 20 points in the first half and set the tone from a team that was down 12 to nothing, and instead of being buried right there, started to work its way back into the game. And Battle alone set the tone that, like, hey, we can make a game of this. And from there, Frank Howard had his best game of the year, Pascal Chukwu his best. Now, maybe the best game of the career, probably is the best game of the career for Pascal Chukwu. 18 boards, 9 offensive rebounds for Pascal in the game. Not sure how they actually scored at the end. The Frank Howard lobbed to Pascal at the front of the rim for the game sealing basket, but that may have even gone down as an offensive board, or could have, depending on how the official score wanted to pick that one. But because Chukwu, a guy who was benched completely a couple games prior, bounced back, and because of some of those performances that we saw last night, it was one for the history books, and not just a great win, but to me it's a testament to why we love sports and why sometimes you endure the downs to appreciate the highs. watching some of the reaction on social media, even some people there talking about, oh, I'd given up, which boggles my mind anyway. I mean, if you're a fan of a team, I think you follow it through the whole season. No matter what were you going to do? Stop watching because they lost to Georgia Tech or find something else to do or take on another team? I don't think that's really how it works. But now because they've bounced back, it is a season anew, and the opportunity to make the NCAA tournament is back and very much alive, while it may have been in doubt when you left the Carrier Dome on Saturday. Coach Boeheim's remarks after the game, you know, he's funny. He knows what people say. He reads everything. He listens to a lot. And he's always got a snide comment. At halftime, he even said, well, I guess we can shoot. Remember at the end of the Georgia Tech game, said, well, we haven't learned yet that we can't shoot. We haven't gotten the memo. Those were his comments on our broadcast. At halftime, the last play of the first half, of course, is the Elijah Hughes heave from three-quarter court. And Boeheim's comments to us just seconds later are, well, I guess we can shoot, which was a bit facetious, although the Orange did shoot the ball well from legitimate three-point range in the first half and showed that it's in them. Over the course of the game last night, they were 11 of 25 from three-point range. You would take that certainly every time out. And in this case, he attempts to poke the bear a little bit right off the bat, dealing with not only the point spread, but the way his team has been discussed of late this season.
Yeah, that was a great one. I guess we're not 17-point underdogs. That's funny. You know, but it was funny reading some of the things in Syracuse. So they completely gave up on our team. Completely gave up on our team. I don't think you should ever do that on a Syracuse team. We're going to fight. We may have bad nights, but we're going to fight all the way. These guys got a lot of guts. It was a tough game. A lot of calls went against us at the end. We just kept battling. Frank Howard is back. That was the difference in the game. That last play he made on that lob, and Pascal was going after balls tonight. If we can play like that, we'll be all right.
And those are encouraging comments from Coach Boeheim. But what he's saying there, basically, if they could play at their very best time and again, we'll be all right. Well, that's sort of what they did in the stretch run of the NCAA tournament last year to get to the Sweet 16. Frank Howard played his best of the year. Pascal Chukwu played his best of the career. There were a lot of things that were the difference in the game. And he listed a couple of them there for sure, and we'll see how repeatable those are over time. I don't know if I've laid it out plainly. I think I've alluded to it over time. You know, I've got a lot of access with the team. Try to bring you the broadcast as best we can from where we sit, and knowing the coaches and players and traveling with the team. And part of a rule of thumb guideline for me is I don't share, generally speaking, stuff that happens in a team-only setting. So when Dino Babers is doing his thing and he's talking to the team in the locker room, I'm the only person in there generally with a microphone and somebody who's in the media or journalism business. Everybody else is a coach or there's one PR staffer, that type of thing. I don't tend to share and repeat what happens there until and unless Babers has indicated himself that he wants to share it, somebody on the team alludes to it, or if they're going to invite in the ESPN cameras and it's eventually going to get out anyway and everybody's going to see it, okay, now it's fair game to get into. In basketball, when the team travels away from Syracuse to play a road or neutral environment, our routine is there's a team meeting 4.5 hours before the tip-off of the game. They show the team a little bit of video. We do the pregame interview with Coach Boeheim, talk to occasionally a player. Usually that's done earlier in the day, if at all, maybe an assistant coach. But we watch the team film study and get an idea of what's important to them on that particular day, see their scouting report of the opponent. And while that might inform our pregame show, in fact, it does inform our pregame show a little bit, we very, very rarely, if ever, make a direct recall of that meeting, etc. Yesterday was an epic meeting. One of the top handful in the 15 years that I've been around covering every game and every road trip. And I wouldn't be sharing this today if it weren't for some of the guys alluding to it and telling the general media about it after the game. Because, you know, my feeling is stuff that is meant to be among the team should stay among the team until there's reason, you know, maybe there's a reason that it's becomes a bit safer, or there's so much public interest that that we can get into it. But Elisha Hughes was quoted in the paper, Syracuse.com, et cetera, saying, look, Coach Boeheim's speech before the game fired us up. And what he did was challenge the guys. And he said to Frank Howard, yeah, they'd already gone through the Duke personnel, laid out how great all the players were, and they've got start four freshmen, and they're all great. Trey Jones going into the game, 5.9 assist to turnover ratio, one of the best players in terms of steals in the country. But hey, Frank, you're a senior. What's he got that you don't? Why can't you take it right at him? And a little salty language and a little fired up and a little throwing the marker at the dry erase board and getting him going. And he wrote on the board, minus 17, and drew a box around it. This was after they'd drawn out a bunch of plays and they called the first couple plays of the game there. And minus 17, what are you going to do about it? And as Jim Boeheim often does, he leans on his experience here and sometimes is prone to hyperbole, but he'll say, look, in 43 years, we haven't been 17-point underdogs. And I don't know that that's actually true, but it's got to be pretty darn close if it's not true. I don't recall a time, and I don't bet, I don't follow the line that closely, but I don't remember a game where Syracuse was that big of an underdog. And I did say earlier in the day on the Daniel Baldwin show, I would take the points on that one, just because they're so, they don't get blown out like that regularly. And to think that they would lose back-to-back games in lopsided fashion, they'd lost by 14 at home to Georgia Tech, I knew they would play better than that. You had to. How could they not? But felt pretty safe they would not lose by 17 or more. That would have to be a complete breakdown. And if you've watched this program long enough, you know that's not how it tends to work. They tend to step up. They play a little bit better on the road sometimes. In the face of the adversity is when they kind of answer the bell. And that's exactly what happened in this game last night. And here's Coach Boeheim and his motivational tactics and the way that maybe he got the guys fired up for this one.
I didn't say a word to him. You know, I told him that everybody had him picked as 17-point underdogs, and if that's what you think you are, then go out and play that way. They played that way for the first few minutes. So, but, you know, you got to have pride, and you got to come back. It's a tough environment. It's a great place to play. We've actually played pretty well here, and Duke has not ever really shot the ball well here against us. I don't know why, but they haven't really. You know, and it's good for us, and hope that continues.
Syracuse is 2-3 all time at Cameron. You could say, well, big deal. That's a losing record. Going to Cameron and winning a couple of times is like historically good. I was trading texts with my University of Virginia counterpart last night. Virginia goes into Duke for an epic clash this weekend, and he said, oh, great. Now Duke's coming off a loss, and their attention will be had building. I mean, Duke's not going to play any better or any more. They will play better probably Saturday. They're not going to play any harder necessarily because they came off a loss. I think when you're already the best team in the country, I'm not sure it works quite that way for them. But it does sometimes wake up a team or focus a team. I think it did in Syracuse's case here. But Virginia won at Duke a couple years ago. And prior to that, they hadn't won 20 times at Cameron. There's a lot of ACC teams that have had long losing streaks at Duke. Syracuse had something like a five-game losing streak against the top five. But against number one, they've actually been really good lately. Coach Boeheim's all-time record against number one is 5-6. And they've won three of the last five against number one. So pretty impressive stuff there. And we'd love to have your reaction to it as well. We'll take a time out here. We'll get into some of the other reaction and commentary from yesterday's game. We'll spend some of the rest of the week looking ahead to Pittsburgh. Sean McDonough of ESPN had the call on the broadcast last night nationally. He'll join us as we roll on with the program as well. Phones are open at 315-437-7644 or 4ESPN44. You're listening to The Boot, In the Booth, brought to you by CH Insurance on ESPN Radio.
This is In the Booth, presented by CH Insurance, in your corner.
We're set to throw in against pressure for Duke. Into Hughes, catching it on the move, and not a chance, really. 80-footer for Elijah on line.
Oh!
He got it!
Oh!
He got it from 80 feet! A three-quarter court shot flung up on line and right down the center for Elijah Hughes. Oh, my Lord. He steals three at the end of the half.
This may wind up being his best. It's awfully good. Jim Boeheim was raving about Virginia before the game. Time for a heave from Elijah Hughes. And it's good from the foul line extended at the other end.
And that's how it went down last night. The Orange got a couple of baskets like that. Buddy Boeheim banked one in. The rear foul line extended shot by Elijah Hughes, 75-80 footer to go down. But they also missed so many two-on-one breaks or three-on-twos, and they left a lot of points on the table as well. So those things tended to even out, and a huge victory in overtime last night for the Orange, 95-91. You heard Sean McDonough there. He'll be our guest here in a few minutes on the show. Phone calls are welcome at 4-ESPN-44-315-437-7644. One of the biggest individual plays of the game came from Syracuse digging late as Duke was tiring too. You look at the number of players that played 40 minutes plus last night. Syracuse had the customary three with, in fact, not Frank Howard, but Elijah Hughes, O'Shea Brissett, and Tyus Battle all played at least 43 minutes. Hughes and Battle never came out of the game, and R.J. Barrett never came out for Duke. Zion Williamson was an offense-defense substitution and on the bench just for a matter of seconds a couple of times. And Jack White played better than 40 minutes, went 0 for 10 from the field, all from three-point range in the game, so he didn't do them any favors in his first career start based on the Cam Reddish illness. But these guys were getting tired, and Duke made kind of a sloppy pass, trying to go across the court and in front of Frank Howard, and Howard was able to rip it and get a layup in overtime. Syracuse already had the lead, that extended the lead. Really important stuff, and one of the ways that the Orange were able to hold off Duke to win in their building in overtime. By now you've heard all the stats. Only prior to last night, only North Carolina had ever beaten Duke at home when the Blue Devils were number one, and all three of those times North Carolina was a ranked team. Syracuse last night became the first ever team to go on the road as an unranked team into Cameron and beat number one Duke. They had been 90-0 in that situation. 90-0. And Syracuse with the win. They lose about, in fact, since 1997, so 21 seasons, 22 now, they have lost 19 games at home against unranked teams. So it's maybe a once-a-year occurrence, and certainly a huge one for the Orange last night. Their first win as an unranked team against number one since the 2006 Big East tournament. Want to get you back to some of the reaction from last night and Coach Boeheim's thoughts about maybe what we saw yesterday and how it might turn not only that game around but the season around. He identified a couple of players as difference makers yesterday.
The difference in the game is Pascal struggled the whole year, and when he plays like that, we're a different team. Frank has struggled. When he plays like that, we're a different team. But, you know, it was obviously a good win. We're very fortunate. You know, some kid banked in a three for us, and then we made a three-quarter court shot. So, you know, those things happen once in a while in the game. But
well, and they did, and they kind of even out. And he's, you know, tongue-in-cheek there saying some kid banked in. Well, that was Buddy Boeheim banked in a three-pointer, and Buddy didn't play a lot last night, but if he's going to get the limited run and have one opportunity, may as well make it, and that was his contribution. He played 6 minutes, Jalen Carey 7 minutes. There wasn't a lot of substitution in the second half. That was a game where you had to stick with your core group. They did not do that early. They were liberally substituting in the first few minutes of the game, but not late and able to withstand the foul trouble. The officials, who called so many fouls in the first half, swallowed their whistles a bit in the second, which I think was for the enjoyment of all of us. Fortunately, nobody really fouled out. Jack White late fouled out. Duke was in a fouls to give situation late in the game, and that was not a huge factor. Fortunately, it would have been sad to see anybody eliminated in that game, DQ'd because of fouls, and to lose their services. That was as entertaining a first half as I can ever recall seeing. 49-48. It seems like it took forever. Guys were, they had 15, 20 points and still 5 minutes to go in the half. So it was end to end, and a lot of fun. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Certainly want to hear what Sean McDonough's take was on it. We'll have Sean on here in just a few minutes. Energy level, certainly a key factor. And given that it was on the road 2 days after a disappointing home win, it was an impressive Syracuse showing.
Absolutely, 100%. It's a nonsensical media thing that whenever we lose a game, we didn't play hard. It happens every time. 43 years, nothing's changed. The first year we did it, it happened, and it's still there 43 years later. When we lose a home game that everybody thinks we're supposed to win, we didn't play hard. We pressed for 14 minutes and did everything we could to get back in that game. But we shot 7 for 33. I'm sure that Mike is going to say Duke shot, what, 9 for 43. It's hard to win games when you do that. But when you're playing against zones like ours or like Georgia Tech's, Georgia Tech's a really good zone. It's really good. Virginia Tech's leading the country at one time in three-point field goal percentage. They shot 5 for 27 against Georgia Tech.
I saw a comment on Twitter, too. You can tell it gets to a coach. That's maybe the most damning thing you can say about a coach, is that the team didn't play with effort or gave up, etc. They didn't give up. I saw a comment. It's funny how this morning some of the dark people have come out of the darkness a little bit with, well, gee, why don't they play this hard every time? Or why have they won only one national championship in 43 years? And blah, blah, blah. And somebody's responded to a comment, because I tweeted out the comment from Coach Boeheim to us postgame, which was really talking about his team's effort. We played it a little bit earlier in the show, and it got something like 1,400 likes. That's the most popular thing that I've ever put out on Twitter, because I think it was emblematic of what the Syracuse spirit is. It's the what you felt watching the NCAA tournament games last year, etc. So, you know, some of the darker type people come out and say, well, if it's that good, why haven't you won more championships? Or, as he said, you know, never give up on Syracuse. And somebody responded with, they quit against Georgia Tech. They did not quit against Georgia Tech. When you lose a game, it's not because you gave up or you quit. They didn't quit. They just weren't good enough on that day. They missed a ton of shots. They didn't get the job done against a lesser team. There's lots of ways you can lose that aren't quitting. And so I think that's, you're barking up the wrong tree if you're using that as an explanation for why things haven't clicked and why Syracuse, you know, has lost more than a couple games so far this year. There's a lot of reasons. In fact, here's one reason that has cost them. Last night, you know, not a terrible night, really, but Coach Boeheim getting to the heart of the matter here related to O'Shea Brissett.
We just haven't proven that we could shoot. Tonight we proved it a little bit, but we haven't shot the ball well. O'Shea makes three threes tonight. He's 0 for 12, the last 12 he's taken. Now he's just got to make a freaking layup, and it'll be all right.
Lots of points left out there around the rim on breakaways and that type of thing. To see a turnover on a breakaway is disheartening, and that happened a couple of times. But that's why they play the games, and that's how it went last night. The Orange did turn it over more than Duke, 15 to 12. Not a huge deal breaker, but the type of thing that they're going to want to clean up. Syracuse typically has been positive in turnover margin each game over the course of the season. But five double-figure scores, etc. Now, the upshot of playing a Monday night road game is you get to come back and recover a little bit. I don't think there's practice today, and it's back into school. Yesterday was the first day of classes, so the guys were gone for that. Now you're back for Tuesday's worth of classes, no practice, and just kind of recover a little bit and then ramp it back up for a Pittsburgh team that's better than people think. They've had some good results this year, and even their losses have been maybe closer than was anticipated at the start of the season. That game's Saturday at 2 o'clock. I'm sure, I haven't heard the exact results this morning, but I'm sure the Cuse.com/tickets and the Dome box office were burning up today. The rest of those, just a handful of tickets. There's only a few hundred tickets left for the February 23rd game against Duke. I'm sure those have been taken care of or pretty darn close, so you better hurry on that one if you'd like. But I think, to the point that Coach Boeheim made a quick comment on, the brand now of this Syracuse-Duke rivalry and the series, it's pretty dependable. The games have been good. They've been provocative in one way or another, whether it's the sports code off or it's the overtime game in the Dome. It's certainly the huge crowds. So you know what you're getting on that one. And, you know, sports can deliver on some days and not on others, but this one has been a pretty consistent buy. And looking forward to that February 23rd game. And winning last night only fuels that. Syracuse now needs to kind of maintain a little bit over the course of the season. It'd be hard to imagine Duke not being in the top 5 or 10 come that game, even though they're going to be lessened a little bit by an AC joint injury on Trey Jones, their point guard. So he's going to miss a few games, including this Saturday, a top 5 matchup against Virginia. But had the Orange lost last night, especially in lopsided fashion, it would have taken the steam a little bit out of that February game here at the Dome. But that is not the case, and so the lights are green heading into that one. Let's get a break out of the way, come back, and visit with Sean McDonough of ESPN, get his perspective on the game from last night when we roll on. We're In the Booth, brought to you by CH Insurance on ESPN Radio.
This is In the Booth, presented by CH Insurance, in your corner.
And Buddy Boeheim makes his first appearance, the freshman, son of the coach, freshman from Fayetteville, New York, just outside the Salt City.
Really big fan of his mother.
Thank God he got his looks from his mother, that's for sure.
As long as we have that established, one of the key highlights from last night's 95-91 overtime victory for the Orange at Duke. Sean McDonough and Jay Billis on the call last night. Hello, Sean. How are you? Appreciate your coming
on.
I'm
doing well.
Little
How are you
sleep.
Doing, Matt?
I'm good, man. That was fun last night.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Didn't start out that way, and, you know, not just because of the fact that it was Syracuse on the short end of the score, but, you know, it really looked like it was going to be a blowout. And I remember saying to Jay and to our other people in the truck during the TV timeout, you know, we better have the bucket ready to be emptied with stories of whatever we have to tell, because there might be a lot of filling, some, because the game wasn't going to be very compelling. That turned out obviously not to be true.
Well, Tyus Battle was kind of the one man that kept it from going the wrong way early there, it seemed like. I mean, he individually kept Syracuse in the game in the first quarter, really.
Yeah, he really did. Obviously, Hughes was a big contributor in the first half, too, including that unbelievable shot at the end of the half. But you know, I think Battle, you know, when you watch that last night, you wonder why can't he be like that all the time. I think you asked that of just about all the guys who seem to have been not as consistent as you would like. You know, the talent was clearly there, you know, even without Jones and Reddish, you know, they're still playing against an enormously talented team, but that includes the two guys who are very likely to be the top two picks in the next NBA draft. So, you know, it wasn't like they're out there taking advantage of, you know, a bunch of guys who can't play. Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. Sean McDonough is our guest from ESPN and handled the television play-by-play call last night. And there's a couple things, I think maybe big picture, I wanted to get your perspective on, Sean, because Syracuse and otherwise, you've seen so many of these big games and would love to have you draw some conclusions for us if you're able in any way. But, you know, you lose by 14 at home to a team that you should beat 9 times out of 10. That's what happened with Syracuse against Georgia Tech on Saturday. And then turn around and play as well as they're capable. To me, that's sports. It's part of the appeal of it. You know, you don't want to go through, I think the fans don't want to go through all the valleys, but the peaks are pretty great. And you've been there. We were talking yesterday about Coach Boeheim's performance against number one teams. You'd put it up with anybody. That he's won 3 of the last 5. He must be doing something right in terms of getting the team up for its biggest challenges.
Well, I haven't seen Georgia Tech play in person. I've only seen them on TV. You know, talking to Coach Boeheim before the game last night, he was saying that he thinks Georgia Tech is better than people realize. He pointed to the fact that apparently Virginia Tech needed to bank one in to beat them very late in the game. And you know, he just thinks that they're better than people think, which may or may not be true, but I agree with what you said. You know, you'd expect certainly at home to beat them a high percentage of the time, but yeah, I just think, you know, last night maybe it's a different intensity level playing Duke in Camden on national TV. Maybe that does more to fire you up than happens on a typical game. I guess that's probably human nature. But it certainly seemed to bring the best out of a lot of guys who hadn't done much. You know, I remember you and I talking yesterday, you know, that Chukwu really hadn't done much, that Howard really hadn't played particularly well. You know, the coach told us before the game on the court, those two guys in particular really needed, you know, not just last night, but for the rest of the year. You know, if Syracuse is going to have a chance to make a run and get in the tournament. You know, those guys really need to step forward, and they did. So, you know, it's there. They showed it last night. You know, it's there.
In your travels, though, let's take Syracuse apart from it. That we see those games intimately and don't miss one. And I know it's your alma mater, but you're a professional sportscaster and have done everything from, you know, the Olympics to the World Series, and did the national championship game on radio here at college football just recently, and so many of those. Do you sense that? Do you see it on a regular basis that the teams raise their level, or that maybe determines the outcomes here, that who handles the pressure their best?
Well, I do think, you know, it's natural that teams set up for Duke. You know, Coach K was saying that he thought maybe part of the explanation for the poor performance against Georgia Tech was that teams, he has found his experience, tend not to play very well in the game before they play Duke, almost as if they're looking ahead. And then often they don't play very well the game after they play Duke because there's kind of the letdown of, we just played Duke. So, you know, there might be something to that, too. You'd have to kind of do a historical and statistical analysis, I guess, to find out if that really is what happened. But it might be an explanation. But, yeah, you know, I think these are, you know, 18 to 20, 21, 22-year-olds who, you know, are probably going to be up and down. You know, they have a lot of things going on in their lives. And, you know, to ask them to be the same night after night probably is unreasonable. But just to see that Syracuse, maybe you could have gotten closer to it like you. You know, it seems to be a little bit more up and down over the years than some other places that we go.
Yeah, I think you might be right, you know, and I don't know if that's a condemnation or not. You know, maybe it is, but, you know, it seems to me that's part of the fun of it, that, no, I don't ever recall Syracuse being a 17-point underdog, but to kind of go in and have those odds and to have the stage set to win the game seems pretty cool. And for everybody that was on the traveling party, you may have noticed last night, Sean, it was a big trip for some sponsors and donors and that type. And it's, for some of them, their one shot to see a game in Cameron, and that was paid off.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's, and it certainly didn't look that way. I mean, it was 12-0, yeah. And, you know, Syracuse was having a hard time just getting a shot up in the air. It didn't look like it was going to be that way. But it was great to see everybody so happy on the Syracuse side after the game. You know, we hung around the booth a little bit. Jay had to tape a SportsCenter hit with Sam Barrett, and I sat next and was kind of trapped in the booth because, you know, it's hard to escape. It's not like you just sneak around Jay.
It has to be a fire code violation somewhere there still.
From the camera wedged up in, as I like to call it, the sauna suspended from the ceiling of the Cameron Indoor Stadium. But, you know, it was nice when, you know, you could hear the Syracuse people down below celebrating, you know, well after the game had ended. So, you know, it was a great win for the basketball program, for the fans everywhere. And, you know, on top of a 10-win football season, you know, it's been a pretty good stretch here to be a Syracuse fan.
Yeah, we could touch on football in 1 second. I wondered your impressions. Was that your first time seeing Zion Williamson up close? You know,
yes,
35-10.
I've seen him in person. Yeah, and even more impressed. You know, you have to be impressed by what you see of him when you see him on TV. But to see in person, you know, see the size, the athleticism, the intensity level. You know, I obviously he's going to want to improve as an outside shooter. I think he will. But he doesn't need to shoot from the outside much with his ability to power to the bucket. So, and I just like that he seems like a great kid. You know, he plays with a smile on his face. Yeah, they all seem to like each other on that Duke team, which isn't always easy to pull off when you have that many guys who are that highly touted. But, you know, they kind of rooted each other before they went there, and, you know, knew each other from the various, you know, all-star things. And apparently it started a text chain with each other during the recruiting process to kind of encourage each other to go there. So pretty special. You know, I know R.J. Barrett's really good, too, but I think it would be awfully hard not to take Zion if he had the number one pick in the draft.
I think you're right. You know that world, and general managers, they can sleep a lot easier when somebody gets – everybody's going to know who this guy is. He goes at it with power. It looks like, you know, as long as his body holds out and all of that, he's got some built-in advantages, and I think you're right. It would be hard to walk away from him, but he's impressive to watch, and I hope – I'll be watching the – Duke-Virginia game on Saturday, and I kind of expect to see a chalk outline there for where Marek Dolezal took that charge under the basket.
I give him a lot of credit. You know, there's a lot of people who would have just gotten out of the way. And, you know, you've already seen that in highlights of Duke games previous to last night, and you can understand, you know, it's kind of a life decision that you have to make on the fly when you see him coming barely toward you. But, I give Marek a lot of credit for standing in there.
Visiting with Sean McDonough just for another minute and saw Marek on the way out. In fact, I had to kind of walk around him to get to the exit out to the parking lot last night after the game. And Syracuse's trainer, Brad Pike, I'd asked him earlier about, you know, the phrase that he would want to use on Pascal Chukwu's injury from the previous game. So without me even saying anything, he goes, we are terming this as, you know, basically he landed right on his butt and he was hurting last night. You could see a little bruise kind of building on Marek already, but he is a bony 185 pounds and Zion is a muscular 285 pounds, and you can imagine how that collision went. A couple of quick things here just before we let you go, Sean. Your now observations that the dust has settled on the football season. We saw you at the Clemson game. I know you've been over and over talking about how that one, you know, certainly you could have seen it go the other way with Syracuse perhaps closing that one out, which would have rewritten history for both teams the rest of the way, but then Clemson a worthy champion, and I know you were there to see it.
Yeah, I think when you see what Clemson did after that game, you know, they won every game from that point on by 20 points or more, really gives you an appreciation of how well Syracuse played, how good Syracuse was this past season. You know, you were there, I was there, and I'm sure a lot of people listening watched it or listened to it. You know, I thought Syracuse outplayed them that day and very easily could have won the game. I just think they ran out of gas there at the end on that long drive. You know, Clemson just kind of warmed down with the running game on a warm day. And I think if Syracuse had just made a couple of plays on offense in the second half, they would have won the game. But they didn't. But I think it was a sign that Syracuse was a lot better, and obviously that turned out to be true. But Clemson was the best team in the country this year and a deserving national champ.
And last thing, just a couple of seconds, I wonder from your perspective, having been around both leagues, if you thought how this Kyler Murray thing might shake out. The guy's got a lot of options ahead of him.
Yeah, he does, and I don't know. I mean, I would assume since he had already made a commitment to baseball and now it's waffling that he must be very serious about football. You know, I'd be anxious to hear what the NFL people think. You know, I think there's some debate about how good he'll be based on his size. You know, I know they say he's roughly the same size as Baker Mayfield and Russell Wilson, but he's not. You know, having stood next to him, you know, I think he's closer to 5'8 than 5'10. So I don't know how much that will bother the NFL people, but he's an incredible talent, that's for sure.
And he slugged something like 550 this year for Oklahoma baseball, too. So he obviously has game in both sports, and we'll see how he's got. I guess a quarterback, he can't really waffle and play both, but we'll see how that shakes out. Be nice to have that kind of.
I don't think they're going to allow that to happen, but no. It would be interesting to see. I guess it's a great position to be if you're him, because you have, you know, two great choices. But I'm sure it's difficult too, because you know you have two great choices, and it's a hard decision to make.
Sure. All right, my friend. Well, appreciate the time as always. Get some sleep, and we'll hope to cross paths again. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. The 3 a.m. wake up call for the 5 a.m. flight came a little early today, but. Back in Phoenix now, so looking forward to a great day. Good to talk to Matt. Nice job last night. I heard the call
at the end
of the game on ESPN Radio as I was driving to the airport the wee hours, and you did an excellent job, Solly.
Well, you too, and you're the best. I appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Matt. Good talking to you.
All right, Sean McDonough of ESPN with us. Sean makes his home in Phoenix now, so he was up early and flying cross country to get back there. Let's get a final break out of the way. Back to wrap the show in just a moment in the booth on ESPN Radio.
6.4 seconds left.
You put this thing away with two right now, though.
First free throw is up and no good on the front end of a 1-1, and it's headed the other way with Duke trailing by 4. 3 seconds left. 30-footer out front for Barrett. Back rim, no. High in the air. Down to the orange, and you can keep your jacket on tonight. The Orange have knocked off number one in Cameron in overtime.
This is In the Booth, presented by CH Insurance, in your corner.
good stuff today and try to bring it back around home for our 3 o'clock close. Back tomorrow at 2. The ACC football schedule will be released tomorrow, so we'll be able to piece together all of Syracuse's football schedule. We'll do that at the beginning of the show tomorrow. Thursday, Mike Waters, New York State Sports Writer of the Year, will join us. Looking forward to all of that. We're in the booth. This is ESPN Radio Syracuse.